Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. It's estimated that more than a quarter of prison inmates in this country suffer from a serious mental illness. Each year, there are an estimated 2 million people with serious mental illnesses admitted to jails across the nation. Almost three-quarters of these adults also have drug and alcohol use problems. Once incarcerated, individuals with mental illnesses tend to stay longer in jail and, upon release, are at a higher risk of returning to incarceration than those without illnesses. More than a dozen Pennsylvania counties have agreed to take part in the Stepping Up Initiative, which is a program designed to reduce the number of people with mental illnesses and keep them out of jail. Let's talk to our guest today. Joining us is Pennsylvania Secretary of Corrections, John Wetzel. Secretary Wetzel, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Richard Cho, Director of Behavioral Health at the Council of State Governments Justice Center. Mr. Cho, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Also, Brenda Carol Peniak is Deputy of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania. Ms. Carol Peniak, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Scott. We very much appreciate the opportunity to participate.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. I think any of the three of you can address this question, but Secretary Wetzel, I'm going to start with you. We kind of have that overall view of this, and we've actually talked about this on the air before, but I've seen a number of quotes from people in corrections that have said, in effect, that prisons are the new mental hospitals or asylums. Now, that may not be the terminology we use today, but the point being that many suffering a mental illness who maybe were institutionalized in the past are now behind bars. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's that simple, but I think if we're just trying to do shorthand, absolutely. Our numbers of individuals with mental illness in state prison, it's 29% of our population now. The county jails, it would be higher. And I think that number has risen. And I think why I'm so excited about this Stepping Up initiative is this has been an issue forever. I mean, I've now, senior statesman, been in the field for, this is my 28th year. And we've been talking about this issue forever. This approach with the state and the county partnering, using this vehicle of Stepping Up, which is a real data-driven approach, allows us to turn this issue into a problem. And what I mean by that is we have not done a good job of specifically defining how many people with mental illness are coming into our system, how many were known to the behavioral health system before they came in, and what's the cause. So we talk about this, and every criminal justice person you talk to, this is top on our list, right, of issues and concerns, but we haven't quantified the problem, and you can't get a solution if you can't even agree on what the problem is.
Now, you say forever. You're talking about forever for you in your career, because actually one of the big changes that occurred happened probably 40, 50 years ago. Used to be that those who were diagnosed with a mental illness, maybe even not diagnosed, but suspected to have a mental illness, were sent to an institution. And we know that many times there were abuses, that the treatments are nowhere near what they are today. But then we deinstitutionalize, and it seems like many of those people who would have gotten treatment, or maybe not, have gone to prisons now. It seems like we need to find something in between, and this sounds like what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to channel my inner Ted Dallas here, their Secretary of Department of Human Services. I think institutionalization should be the last option. But trying to understand where gaps in the behavioral health system lead to people coming into jails or prisons. I think we spend our money much better that the first time that government has to touch an individual, be it on the behavioral health side or criminal justice side or both, let's figure out the path to get them on the right track to be good citizens as early on as possible. And the rubber meets the road at jails. We spend a lot of time because the state budget is $2.5 billion. But I got to tell you, that money spends a heck of a lot better in counties, at jail, earlier on in someone's life of crime.
All right, let's talk to Brenda Carol Peniak with the County Commissioners Association about the county level. And I'll just an open-ended question to you. What about the county level? Secretary Wetzel just said that we need to get to many of these people who are suffering from mental illness at the county level very early on.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And what we've been hearing and seeing from the counties is an increasing concern about jail being used as the treatment modality, the treatment option, because there really isn't, you know, a good diversionary pattern that happens before we get to that point. So we are seeing increases. The interesting thing from the county perspective, in Pennsylvania, the counties also administer our mental health programs. So what we really haven't done is coordinate or expect those two systems to work together. With the problem that we're now seeing in jails with this increasing population, Secretary Wetzel pointed out, finding out whether there was a previous touch with a community-based system where diversion could have occurred, and having that data is going to be crucially important for us to be able to figure out what changes we have to make going forward. Again, you know, the community system for folks who are not criminally involved has been stressed. There have been numerous cuts to the funding that counties expect and have received for a very long time to provide those services. So, you know, all of our systems are challenged. But, again, the data, we believe, and more counties getting involved in this initiative will help us direct those resources so that we can divert people from entering the jail in the first place, which is also a very strong goal of the county commissioners.
Scott, if I could just add one thing. I think Brenda pointed out something that's really important. It's clearly we've cut money to the behavioral health system, but let's not act like we're really cutting money, because we haven't cut money at the state prison level. Even over my six years, our budget has increased from, I think, $1.9 billion to $2.5 billion. I mean, the truism is, for these individuals, we're going to spend money. But from even a fiscal conservative standpoint, we should spend money once. And when we rob Peter to pay Paul, and we rob the front end of the system, we pay for it on the back end of the system at a much higher rate. And most importantly, and what we have to keep in mind, is people leaving our system more likely to commit another crime. And so, Brent, I couldn't agree with Brenda more.
But, you know, Secretary, you know the realities of state budgets, and you know the county counts on the state for a lot of the funding dealing with these human service programs and prisons, for example. But the reality is that we have a tight budget. We have a very tight budget, and it is hard for the legislators, maybe even the governor, to look long term. Because we have a, you know, a $3 billion budget deficit that we have to fill right now. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just pointing out the reality is, and you are well aware of the reality, that it is it's hard for a lot of people to look long-term when we have short-term problems.
Yeah, so I've responded to that two ways. Obviously, long-term thinking in Harrisburg is the next election, so more than 50%, that's 2 years.
Right.
But if that's the perspective we're going to take in trying to build a better Pennsylvania, we're going to be in a bad way. But I think, secondly, where I think we've come up short, and by we, I mean counties, I mean criminal justice professionals, we have not made a strong data case that we can spend money and invest money in a behavioral health system and see a benefit at the county jail budget and the state prison budget. So I think what this opportunity that the Council State Government Justice Center is really bringing us is an opportunity to make the data case, to draw a line and say, look, yes, if we invest in this service in Dauphin County, which is where we're doing this, we're going to have less people coming to jail and ultimately less people coming to prison, and that's a good investment.
Let's bring in Richard Cho, who is the Director of Behavioral Health at the Council of State Government Justice Center. And I want to talk about the Stepping Up program. Mr. Cho, what is Stepping Up?
Stepping Up is a national initiative. It's something that my organization, along with the National Association of Counties, and many other partners launched back in 2015. And it was really in response to what we were hearing from county leaders and from state leaders across the country that, as Secretary Wetzel mentioned, we've confronted the fact that we have a mental health crisis in our jails for many decades now. And we know we can't continue to go down this path of pursuing small-scale innovations to try to tackle this problem. We need to get to bigger results. We launched this initiative as a way to elevate the issue and bring national attention on this. It's hard for counties who are grappling with these crises to really tackle this in isolation from one another. What we've tried to do is to try to create a national network to show counties that they're not alone in tackling this, and then to create a network where counties can actually learn from one another. So that's first and foremost what we've did. We issued a call to action We called on counties to step up and to sign on to this goal of reducing the number of people with mental illness in jails. And we've had a tremendous response. We have over 350 counties who've actually passed resolutions committing to the goal of reducing the number of people with mental illness in jails. We created a national network of people who are supporting this effort as well.
Can I interrupt for just one moment? When you say that you exchange information, counties exchange information, what do those counties learn from one another? What can they learn from one another?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're trying to do is to change the way that we're approaching this problem from, as Secretary Wetzel mentioned, you know, just an issue that we care about to something that we can actually size, get our arms around the size of this problem, and then use our data to really determine what the solutions are. We got to move away from thinking that there's panaceas or silver bullets. Most counties to date have done a lot of great innovation, but a lot of the innovation has been on the small scale, small pilot programs, mental health courts, crisis intervention training for police officers. And I think we need to move towards not thinking that one program or one fix is going to solve this problem, but rather thinking about a continual process of system improvement that focuses on four key outcomes. First, are we having fewer people coming into the jails who have serious mental illness? Once they're in jail, are we actually shortening the length of time that they spend there? Third, are we connecting more people to treatment and services and housing? And fourth, are we reducing their recidivism? We want to create a way that counties are using that kind of dashboard of four results to really drive their progress forward. And I think it's using that data-driven framework that is what we're hoping counties can learn from one another.
When you say serious mental illness, whenever we discuss this issue, I want to point out what that is. What is serious mental illness?
Yeah, I think, you know, lots of people who are in jails have mental health issues. You know, as any one of us would spend a couple nights in jail would, you know, we'd have trouble sleeping, we'd have some anxiety. That's different from people who have a diagnosed serious mental illness, which means two things. One is that they have an Access 1 diagnosis on the DSM-5. In other words, schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorders, bipolar disorders, major depression, those kind of serious conditions, as well as having some pattern or history of those conditions being severe and chronic. It's really the definitions that, and there's not one definition of serious mental illness that many states use, but really we're talking about people who have severe needs, and that's the population that I think needs to be the focus. That's the population that jails are struggling to be able to manage, and that they know jails are not the right place for providing treatment for this population.
All right, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Susan. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I recently read the book, A Mother's Reckoning, written by Dylan Klebold's mother. He was one of the Columbine shooters. And she said, she repeatedly referred to, rather than mental health, brain health. Because mental health issues sort of seem like it's disconnected from our body and it's not solvable or treatable. And I just wonder, if we continue to refer to these problems as brain health issues, would we look at them differently?
Thank you very much for your call. Mr. Cho, what about that?
Yeah, I think what the caller is referring to is really the fact that I think the general public doesn't have a great understanding of mental illness, and there's an assumption that it's somehow something's wrong with people or that it's a moral problem. I think the science on mental illness has come a long way over the last 30, 40 years, where we've begun to recognize that it is a brain disorder and there's a physical aspect to it. And frankly, that's enabled us to have the right kind of treatments, what people are able to do with pharmaceuticals to help people manage their symptoms. We've seen dramatic improvements in people's ability to recover from this illness. And I think once we start to understand really what mental illness is about, that it is a disease, that it's something that is treatable, that people can achieve recovery, that's when we can start getting away from our fear of the illness. And I think that fear is really what's prevented us from implementing the kind of solutions that prevent people from having to go to jail.
Secretary Wetzel, we know that when it comes to mental illness, that there is a great stigma. Maybe not as much today as there used to be, but there still is a stigma. Does that exist even in prison?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the things, as you know, we got sued over our treatment of mentally ill individuals and made significant changes within our system.
We meaning Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. One of the things we really focused on is trying to destigmatize and use destigmatizing language. And I think the language, I think to the caller's point, the language we use is important. And One of the things, to give you a real granular example of why this is needed in Pennsylvania and why the state chose to invest in this county program, this county-focused initiative, is that even within a county, we have often have arguments between the warden and the head of the behavioral health, because the warden says this person's mentally ill and the head of behavioral health said they don't meet our definition for mental illness. So if we can't even talk the same language within a county, we can't move forward. So again, by pulling data sets together and agreeing upon a definition, agreeing upon language, and part of this is to continue to destigmatize both this and addiction. I mean, we're in the worst opioid crisis ever. So if we ever had a chance to destigmatize behavioral health issues, it's right now, because so many people are being personally impacted by it.
Mm-hmm. And okay, now you're talking about from an administrator's point of view, probably those who work in the facility, in the institution itself. But what about amongst the prisoners themselves, those who are behind bars? Is there a stigma?
Absolutely. There's nothing from a cultural standpoint that is super dissimilar to the community. So I explained being in prison or jail. It's like, for those of you who are of age going into a bar, you can see the people who are going to be troublemakers and avoid them. And you can see the quiet place. And if that's where you want to go, that's where you want to go. We have the same things within prison. We have, because such a high percentage of our population, I mean, a third of the population are mentally ill. Some of the things we do to mitigate that is house people together, train inmates to be support for other inmates and those kinds of things. But yes, stigma exists even within the walls of our prisons.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar.